Friends, as we'll see later this morning, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Brothers and sisters, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's in his name we gather and we worship. Please be seated. Well, it's our turn now, if you'd like to join us as we sing "Father, We Praise You," our first hymn. Please be seated. Today, of course, is the day we think about mums. So welcome if you've ever been a mum, and welcome if you've ever had a mum. Sometimes our mums have done a great job, and we give thanks for them. Sometimes, of course, mums have made mistakes that have perhaps caused us pain. So we ask for grace to forgive them. Sometimes you might have even been that mum. For many, it's a day of sad reflections for various reasons. But to mums with us here today, both in person and online, a happy Mother's Day to all of you. If you're new to Scots, we always ask you to introduce yourself on the yellow card that you've got on the way in, or you might find in the seats around you. You can leave it on your way out with Michael at the foyer desk, or you can scan the code and leave your contact details online. If you'd like to meet up with me in person, you can just mention it on the card and we'll link up through the week. Now, next Sunday afternoon, there is the big hymn sing. You will have got a little brochure about it. There's a pile of them here. They're invitations to give out to your friends and neighbours. Of course, we call it the big hymn sing very ambitiously. It might indeed be a small hymn sing if you don't come and bring your friends. So what we're asking you to do is come with bells on next Sunday, stay for a light lunch after church that's going to be provided, and have a joyful afternoon of singing some great hymns. It's going to be a great time, so please make it big. Finally, our contemporary service, Scott City, is on this evening at 5 p.m. as it usually is. We're going to sing again, "O Thou Who Camest From Above" is our hymn. We'd love you to stand and join us. Please be seated, and I'd invite you to join with me in prayer. Father in heaven, source of all the families of the earth, we give you thanks today for our mums, even for many of us who have farewelled them long ago. There is a lingering sadness, a sense of loss. Yet today we celebrate life, we celebrate the nurture given by mothers, the joys of family life and laughter. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of so many mums who step out of their careers, who spend sleepless nights, who patiently comfort through tears of disappointment, through scratches and scrapes, who set aside their own needs to nurture their children. Father, we thank you. This morning, as we hear the words of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of your sheep, the shepherd who leads us to good pasture, who gave his life that we might live, we thank you too for gathering us as your sheep, and the life we find in him. Help us to learn, we pray, from his example of service. Help us to care for others as he cared for us. Teach us to sacrifice gladly instead of grasping and taking, that we might truly reflect the one we follow. As we pray now the words he taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, I don't know what you achieved in lockdown, but this morning we join with Shirley and Franklin in the baptism of baby Levi, who was born on January 4th this year, and what a beautiful little bundle he is, at least he was when he introduced himself to me last week. Hopefully he'll be charming again. Hello. Nice to see you again. Yeah. Now, Franklin and Shirley have been members of Scots for a number of years, and they're delighted to bring Levi to be baptised this morning as they publicly state their faith and their intentions to raise him in faith in Christ Jesus, as leaders of Christian households have been doing from earliest times. Baptism is a sign of our commitment to doing that in the context of prayer and faithful teaching as part of a Christian community. So those are the things Franklin and Shirley are going to be promising now. Let me ask you, as Levi's mum and dad, do you confess your faith in God as your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, the renewer of hearts? If you do, please say we do. Do you promise, depending on God's help, to teach Levi God's word, to encourage him to follow Jesus by your word and example, to pray for him, and to join him regularly with God's people in our church family? If you do, say we do. The Lord bless you and Levi and graciously help you to keep these promises. Now, brothers and sisters, you have heard Franklin and Shirley promise these things. I would also love to have the encouragement of their church family to keep the vows they've made. So if you are part of the Scots church family, whether formally a member or otherwise, and you are willing to support them in the promises they've made, please stand and join in saying, "We do," to the next question. Please stand. Do you promise, as you're able in the years to come, to play your part in teaching Levi to love the Lord Jesus by your word and example, that you would strive to provide a place of safety and love and encouragement as he grows to maturity in faith? If so, please say we do. Thank you. Please be seated. Hello, hello, hello. Levi, Sebastian, Richard, we baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good boy. Well done. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray indeed for your blessing on little Levi today and in all the days and years ahead. We ask for his mum and dad that as they raise him, they might do so with their promises today in mind, that they might teach him faithfully of the Lord Jesus, that we might see him grow as a godly young man and a man of your kingdom in the future. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." Storybook Bible. Thanks. Have a seat. Please be seated.
Let us bring our prayers to the Lord. Let us pray. Our loving God, shepherd of all your people, we praise and give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of us and the world. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. He lets us rest in green meadows. He leads us beside peaceful streams. We praise and give thanks, for Christ renews our strength, and he guides us along the right path. Shepherding God, let every breath praise your holy name and give thanks. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, we give thanks for the precious gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a woman, Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. Loving Christ, shepherd of the sheep, who laid down his life for the sheep, we thank you as you love your sheep that follow you, such as the love of our mothers and cares for their children. Good shepherd, thank you for hearing the cries of every mother and woman in this church, in our community, in our city, country, and this world. On Mother's Day today, we pray for God's blessings, provision, wisdom, and protection to all those who have nurtured and cared for us. We remember birth mothers, adoptive mothers, mothers-to-be, aunts, grandmothers, neighbors, teachers, friends, and motherly figures who shared their faith with us. We also remember those mothers who are no longer with us. We pray for mothers and all women who are suffering at this time, for those who need healing. And we pray and remember those who are sick with COVID. We pray and we remember our dear friend Lewis Campbell and friends that are sick with COVID, and those who require food or shelter, who live in violent homes or communities, and those who are grieving. Shepherding God, we praise and give you thanks for your healing touch on each of those suffering and in need. Loving Christ, you came to seek the lost and gather them to your fold. We pray for God's protection of Ukrainian women, children, and Ukrainian refugees. We pray that you would rescue and hear their cries and answer their prayers, O Lord, that you would draw near to them so that they feel your loving presence. We ask that you would feed them and keep them warm as they huddle in basements, bomb shelters, and subway tunnels. We pray that you would give them wisdom and clear direction for the next steps, that you would surround them with those who will pray with them and for them. Turn their hearts to hold fast to you, the Good Shepherd, and that you would deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Help them be still that God is on their side to give them a future and hope. We remember and pray for all mothers or women in Russia whose children or husbands or brothers or friends march towards Ukraine. We pray for mothers and wives who have lost their loved ones in Ukraine or Russian territory. Lord, have mercy. Strengthen and comfort the mothers or wives, women, who weep for their sons or daughters, husband or brothers, friends, injured or lost on the battlefield. Change the hearts of stone to hearts of flesh for Russian leaders. May your peace be in Ukraine, Russia, and every heart of your people. And now, in glad thanksgiving for all your goodness, we dedicate our tithes and offerings and pray for the power to offer and present our every souls to you, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance. Through Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, we ask for these things and give thanks. Amen. Let us sing, Be Still, My Soul.
The first scripture reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 7 and 10 to 13. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land.
Oh, Our second scripture reading today is from the New Testament, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Friends, let's pray before we look at those words together. Our Father, would you please open our eyes to your word today, that we might understand it and that your Spirit might apply it to our hearts. First of all, turning our hearts to the Lord Jesus and then making us more like him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With an election campaign in full swing and an ugly war in Ukraine, I'm going to do my best today not to talk about politics, although I do want to talk about leadership. So whatever passionate partisan position you prefer, whether you're relishing the end of ScoMo or you think it won't be easy under Albanese, I want you to step back for a moment from your particular form of politics and think more broadly about the most common problem with leadership. And that is the temptation to eat the sheep rather than feed them, to use your position for personal benefit rather than the benefit of others, which is, believe it or not, benefiting others, the whole point of our Westminster political system. The word minister, whether it's in a religious or a political sense, you know, literally it means, of course, servant. And so it's not by accident that key portfolios are led in our system by ministers of the crown, servants who, on her behalf, are meant to be servants of the people. Which so easily, of course, when it's reversed, so quickly becomes ugly. So when you see a Prime Minister, perhaps, or a Premier, and please believe me here, I'm not setting out to be partisan, But when you see a prime minister or a leader so addicted to the power, perhaps, so addicted to the benefits, so addicted to the privilege of position, that the holding of power becomes the ultimate goal, then of course it's really no longer for the benefit of the people, but becomes self-serving instead. And so, for instance, Matthew Guy said on Tuesday that the state budget is not a pandemic repair plan, it's a PR repair plan for one Victorian, Daniel Andrews. Although, of course, the opposition leader would say that, wouldn't he? Out of self-interest. But that's the danger. No longer a public servant, but a self-servant. No longer tending the sheep, but eating the sheep. Or, of course, in the corporate world, it's easy enough to spot the same kind of examples. According to the American Economic Policy Institute, CEOs were paid on average 351 times as much as the average worker last year in America, which is only amplified then when you see the kind of profit chasing that leads to downsizing and mass sackings of ordinary workers while the fat cats still grow fatter. And so when I was polled on the phone the other day by a computerized voice on behalf of the Labor Party that asked me, would I be happy to see billionaires paying more tax? Well, my apologies to any billionaires here this morning, but I said that was just fine with me. Now, we're in John's Gospel, chapter 10 this morning. Jesus, once again, up against the Pharisees, who, as the religious leaders of Israel in his day, were making exactly those same mistakes. Jesus critiques them in covert terms, in figures of speech that they don't understand, by dipping into some very familiar Old Testament metaphors, familiar to them at least, if they had been reading the prophet Ezekiel. And look, the irony is, it's a time in Israel's history where they are desperately looking for a Messiah figure, which was very much what prophets like Ezekiel had been promising for hundreds of years. Just imagine, if you like, Ukraine and Russia. Russia, so much bigger, so much stronger, like Rome in the time of Jesus, already in control of the region of Judea for as long as your grandparents could remember. Now, there was Vladimir Zelensky on 60 Minutes last Sunday night, exactly the political leader that they need for the moment. In Israel back then, in contrast, just leaders who want to do deals with the occupation forces for personal benefit at the expense of the rest of the nation. Which again is exactly the way the prophet Ezekiel had described it hundreds of years before that, using the image of shepherds and their sheep. It's like in Jesus' day, the leaders have learned nothing. Now again, please understand, we're stepping back at this point hundreds of years back into the Old Testament timeline to the point where the nation of Israel is heading for big trouble. They are about to be crushed and dispersed by the Babylonians. Epic destruction that Ezekiel says is being brought on them by the corruption of their leadership. Now that's the story from Ezekiel 34 verse 2, our first reading. And shepherds are the metaphor. I saw a guy in a t-shirt once, probably a New Zealander. It said in bold print, "I love animals." Then in smaller print underneath, "They're delicious." Which is the way the shepherds, the leaders of Old Testament Israel, think about their sheep. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, verse 2. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. And there's more from Ezekiel. You don't care for the weak. You don't heal the sick ones. You don't bind up the wounded ones. You don't search for the lost ones. All there in verse 4 in the first reading, which might incidentally, and this would be no accident, but it might remind you exactly of the kind of things you've probably heard that Jesus actually did, which we'll come to. Ezekiel says, with force and harshness you have ruled them. Which is why then the people of Israel have been scattered. No shepherd. Which is why they've wandered everywhere. No shepherd. Which is why, verse 6, my sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. There's a bonus little history of Israel lesson for you, because you see, that's the mess Israel is still in by the time of Jesus. They're in Judea, just a tiny part of the extent of the Old Kingdom, just a fraction of the people, now under the control of Rome. While still the diaspora Jews in the time of Jesus and in the time of his apostles are still waiting for a shepherd to call them home. Who will be different, so you'd hope, from the shepherds who came before, who only wanted to pillage and fleece and eat them, with not a thought for flock welfare. Typically, though, the point of the prophets like Ezekiel is that they're full of promise. They're looking forward to that day. They tend to offer that note of long-term hope, given their own confidence in God's long-term plans. Now, I hope you can bear with me here just a little longer, because I'm doing most of the heavy lifting in the Old Testament in Ezekiel. By the time we get to our passage in John, chances are, at least I hope so, it'll all come into focus. If you think of the whole storyline of the Bible as God gathering himself a people, you can be pretty sure it's not going to end with his sheep scattered all over the earth, with none to search for them, seek for them, care for them. So here is Ezekiel again, because the shepherds are on notice. Thus says the Lord God, verse 10, behold, I am against the shepherds. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths. They may not be food for them. And here is the bigger news in the promise of Ezekiel. God himself is going to search for his sheep and seek them out, because they are his sheep, which is what any decent shepherd would do. And he says, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. Which may or may not remind you, if you've been around for the last few weeks, of a strange comment made by the Pharisees a few weeks ago in John chapter 7. It's a while ago now that we saw it. Jesus has just said, I'm going away and you won't find me, talking about his coming death. And the Jews say to each other, we're told, where does this man intend to go that we won't find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? Which, if you've been reading Ezekiel, is almost on the money. Noticing the important extra detail that in Ezekiel, it is God himself who'll do that. Which again is exactly so for how John has been identifying Jesus, the Word become flesh. So, we've set the scene. And Israel, who still, after all that suffering of the last 500 years under Babylon and now under Rome, still subject, it seems, to these self-serving shepherds who just want to fleece the sheep, who instead of seeking lost sheep, love nothing more than excluding them from the synagogue, like the formerly blind man we saw last week. The Pharisees are gatekeepers, determining who's in, who's shame. Corrupt shepherds of Israel. To which Jesus now says the words we find here in John 10, which, again, when you read it in the light of the words of Ezekiel, you'll see are words that pack quite a punch. He says, I will be the door for the sheep. I'll be letting them in and out, not you. Because you guys, and he's talking about the Jewish leadership in his own day, are exactly the way the leaders of Israel have always been. Verse 1, he says, you are thieves and robbers coming in the back door, over the fence. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. You're strangers who the sheep won't follow. He says, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Thieves and robbers, verse 8, who have only come to kill and destroy. Or at best, verse 12, just hired hands who run off at the first sign of danger and do nothing to help or guard the sheep. Caring nothing. Listen to what he says. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And so in contrast, verse 11, says Jesus, there's me. I am the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for you. I'm not going to steal from you or eat you or desert you. I'm here to lead you and to comfort you and to give my very life for you, to save you. Again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Now friends, do you get that? I will willingly give everything, says Jesus, for the sake of my flock. Which of course is exactly what he goes on to do at the cross as the rest of the story unfolds. Willingly, of his own accord. Here is the good shepherd who comes binding and healing and restoring sight, Sabbath or not, to seek and save the lost sheep. No matter where, the further the better. Regathering God's scattered and broken Israel, no matter how far they've been scattered. In fact, all around the Greek-speaking world and beyond, as it turns out. Which, of course, is what he's talking about in verse 16, which, without the context, sounds odd. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Which, you see, in the light of Ezekiel's optimistic promises, makes absolute sense. And in the light of the way the book of Acts unfolds, is of course exactly what happens. A mission first to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the very ends of the earth, even Melbourne, Australia. Gathering God's sheep under a shepherd who seeks and saves the lost. A shepherd who binds up the brokenhearted. A shepherd who wipes away every tear. A shepherd who even raises the dead and makes everything new. He is the gateway to all of that. And unlike other leaders both then and now, gives everything, takes nothing, lays down his life for the sheep, and then has the authority to take it up again. Now, friends, if you're someone who's come through that gate, which is just a fancy way of asking if you've come to Jesus in faith, the point is you have come to a whole new kind of kingdom with a whole new model of leadership based on laying down your life for others, which is then, of course, meant to work its way down the line through the years to me and you. Has that model done that? Has it percolated its way down to you? First, of course, if you're a person of influence in the church. Maybe an elder. Now you'll notice we have these higher chairs for elders. They look important. Do you reckon Jesus would want to sit there? Shepherd who lays down his life? Or like me, a minister? Which is again that word that reminds us that leadership is about service rather than status. We need to remember, all of us, that the world's leadership pyramid has been inverted. That Jesus brought in a model of servant leadership, of shepherd leadership, where the shepherd isn't there to eat the sheep, but to give his life for them. Speaking of chairs, I saw a picture on Twitter the other day. You might be able to see it on the screen. It's a chair covered with lambskin. Three very decorative sheep's heads mounted around it. And the text of the tweet said, "If your pastor owns this chair, that's a big red flag." See, Ezekiel says, "Woe to you shepherds who eat the sheep, who sit in sheepskin luxury, who consume instead of care." Look, there are all kinds of ways we can be tempted by that in leadership. Benefit from honour, benefit from power, benefit from respect, social position. Jesus won't have any of it. So you could be a member of the board of management or a trustee simply for the status. In which case you need to be reminded, leadership in Christ's kingdom is always about giving rather than taking, about serving rather than being served. My granddaughter Audrey, who's actually visiting with us today from New Zealand, she was singing the other day, "I'm the king of the castle and you're the dirty rascal," which reminded me of the days I used to sing that in the playground right from preschool. See, conditioned by our culture right from the start to lift ourselves up and push other people down. How about your workplace? Is that what happens there? Just for fun at the moment, I'm reading a John Grisham novel called The Associate, set in a law office, and it's just talking about the year's intake of new graduates, orientation time at the law firm, being lectured on the nuts and bolts of preparing lawsuits. There's a great little section. It says there's at least one in every class, whether it's first-year contracts in law school or a group of fresh recruits in Wall Street, sits in the front row, asks complicated questions, works every angle, cuts throats for better grades, stabs backs to get ahead, arrives at the firm with every intention of making partner before anyone else in his class. They succeed magnificently. Most make partner. Do anything to make an impression. Do anything to get ahead. Walk over anybody. Is that you? Or just looking to be like Jesus and to serve others, giving them credit for their work where it's due? It's interesting these days, every board meeting, every church meeting starts with a requirement to state conflicts of interest, just in case you're acting for your own advantage. See, that's our nature. We will, won't we, given the chance? Jesus won't. Or all the instances of sexual abuse that are based on power imbalances in the workplace. For generations, that's been the accepted model. If you've got power over someone else, use it however you want. Friends, just remember that the Creator in flesh, when he comes, bends to serve rather than stretching to take, which is profoundly world-changing as a model. Because if anyone's entitled to take, surely he is. The shepherd who gives up his life for his sheep, you and me, who'll call us by name, Jewish, Greek, even us Aussies and Scots and Indonesians and Indians and Americans and Koreans and whoever else. And he will know us and care for us because we're his sheep and he is our good shepherd, which really does change everything. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came among us as a servant and as a shepherd, that you gave your life that we might live, that you know us, that you call us by name. And so now we pray that as we go out into our worlds, you would make us servants too, that we would redefine greatness in the image of our Lord Jesus and pursue that greatness ourselves for his glory and his sake. Amen. Rejoice, the Lord is King. That's our final hymn this morning. Friends, thanks for being with us this morning, both in person and online. Once again, this morning, please excuse me, I won't greet you in person at the door. I still have a positive COVID patient at home. I'm very well myself, and if you want to just have a private chat, please do that, but I'd rather not be a super spreader if that was a danger. So if you do want to make contact with me, if you're new, please fill in the contact card and be in touch. It'd be great to catch up with you. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing to do his will, and may he accomplish in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.